Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
The Death Mark of Doom!
Hello, fellow Beastians, is your one and only gaming beast. And yeah, it's been a while, I know. Like, not so long like last time I said that I was back, and I am back, but I don't know, you know, life happens, shit happens, and you think you want to do again. Like, I never said, I really shouldn't say that this is a weekly, because it's not a weekly podcast anymore, but I'll think about it. I'll try to do a weekly podcast. If it doesn't happen to be, then it's not, then it's okay. But for now, I got some things that I wanted to talk about. Okay, so there is many things that have happened in the world of nerddom, to say it in a extra cringy way. But today we are gonna talk about basically something that I wanted to talk about for a long time, and since I've been literally no-lifing Fallout 4, so that's why I've been, like, just gone in general, in many ways. I have to catch up with a bunch of podcasts, including, of course, the excellent Death Adder Super Show, of course, Tiger Claw Radio, and other things, you know, but I will do this in my own time, of course. And I have the comments for the last episode, which is going to be interesting. I'm going to read them today, and they're all from our one and only Death Adder, and I will read them in the order that I see them. So, but that's after I talk about the topic of today. And today we're going to talk about a topic that has been long since coming, at least for me, that I wanted to talk about. And I was thinking about how to tackle this topic because there's some, you know, like, issues or whatever, but I, like, don't care. This is, as CF says, this is a very small operation here. It's just you and me. It's just me and the boys, you know, and the boys TV show, which I've watched 2 episodes so far, and I do like it. You know, you if you have listened to the show, you know that I read the comic books. I have my issues with the comic books, but either way, the series is interesting to me, but I'll talk about that in another podcast. What I'll talk about today is none other than, I mean, you read the title. It's Captain Marvel versus Captain Marvel, and or Captain Marvel versus Shazam, and it's basically, I'm just going to talk about more the movies, not the characters. This is not a Virtual Warriors. I might make one just for shits and giggles. They're just a pain in the ass to film, to do, and everything. I mean, it's not the worst thing, but either way, I'm talking about not necessarily the characters and their strengths and whatever. I'm talking about the movies why... Let's be honest here. Why Shazam is so much better than Captain Marvel. And also, this is also symbolizes the way that it basically is a branching point to me, because it shows how superhero movies in the future are gonna be in many ways. It's like where you have the two big guys, the two big gorillas fighting each other, you know? And then you have, of course, the smaller projects, the independents, the TV shows, and whatever, so I'll get into that, and I'll talk about why I think DC has had a hard time with their movies, but they have been getting better and stronger, and I think again, and I think that Marvel is going woke, or you know, or broke, you know? Like, and of course they're not gonna go broke because they have the money from Disney. So, you know, this time they won't go broke, and lose all their movie licenses again because they have to sell them off. I'm just gonna talk about what I think about these movies and what I think is gonna be the future for these companies and how it might affect other things. And yeah, I'm gonna be brutally honest, honestly, because I'm kind of sick of all this bullshit that's been going on in Hollywood, you know? Okay, I'm gonna start it off with the negative, with the movie that I think is, of course, inferior, and then I'll go on with the other movie that I think is great to leave it on a positive note, and then I'll talk about my ideas. Now, I've seen both movies once so far, and it's been a while. It's like not necessarily fresh in my memory, but I still remember them very well, so it's not going to be a problem for me because both of these movies had an impression on me. It's just what kind. So let's start with the first, the fake Captain Marvel, because yes, you probably heard it many times that the reason why Marvel has Captain Marvel, the name. I'll just. If you haven't heard it, basically the original Captain Marvel was made by Charlton Comics in the 30s, in the late 30s, like in the 40s, about in the golden age of comic books, and he was obviously made as a copy of a pastiche of Superman, but they made it more magic based and more fun. The big difference was that he was a kid that turned into Superman. And yeah, that's basically it. And it was magical based, and it was more fun. And actually, Shazam, aka Captain Marvel, as he was known, did m lo a lot better than Superman for a while. And literally, there was other comics that literally ripped off more popular characters even back then, like Superman or Batman. And Batman, in a way, is a rip off of the Shadow and other characters, but we'll not get into that. The point is that DC sued Charlton Comics, who also made other characters that you probably know about, like the Blue Beetle and some other ones, some pretty big names. And they Charlton Comics did well, but DC Comics, or as they were known as National Comics back then, they sued Charlton Comics because they said that Captain Marvel was too similar to Superman. And I think they didn't even win, but the fact is that Charlton Comics ran out of money and they went bankrupt. I think they even won the case, but they went bankrupt, and because, you know, like fucking going into a lawsuit costs a lot of money. It was a really scummy tactic, in my opinion. I think Captain Marvel was different enough in many ways than Superman to warrant to be its own thing, honestly, because you know, especially nowadays, and he's a great character in my opinion. So the point is that the license, the rights for the name Captain Marvel were basically up for grabs for a short period, after Charlton went bankrupt. And there's actually a third Captain Marvel, which is a really weird character that I might talk about. He's like a weird hero. He's like a robot who can detach his body part, his limbs, and his head. It's just really fucking weird. I might talk about it in the future. So yeah, because the name for was up for grabs, and then DC bought up all the rights for all the Charlton characters, and they integrated them into the DC characters, into the DC universe. So they weren't originally that. And this is not the first time that it happened, and it happened also with Marvel. The latest example was the creator for Angela left Image Comics and took his character because Image Comics has a system where you keep your character rights. And I mean, with Image Comics, this is it, it kind of forced them to update their universe to a certain degree. And the thing is that just how Rob Lee felt when he left the company. He took all of his characters with him, and I think the character's name is Church. He's the guy who has like a skull face, literally like a skull face, skull burned. His skull is like burned off. and he was the partner and the best friend of Al Simmons' Spawn, and he was tied into Origin of Spawn, so they had to replace him in the Spawn in the Image universe. And yeah, but that's another story. The point is that where Angela was removed from the Image comics, and then she was placed because the guy joined Marvel, and she was put into the Marvel universe. Even though I felt like Marvel always wanted, at least as far as I have seen it, they have like their version of like a Judeo-Christian God to a certain degree, but I've never seen them. I've never seen like literal Christian type angel characters like in the DC universe, like you have Zariel. I mean, they have demons like Mephistopheles and stuff, so they have something like that. And an angel would be not out of place, but I felt Angela is to me an Image Comics character and always will be. And placing her in the Marvel universe is like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. It just doesn't feel right, you know? But the point is that we're getting back. I'm getting off track here as usual on the Gaming Beast, because on the Beastcast, that's just how we roll here. We know it. I go off track and I ramble on, swing a laughs, and all is great, you know. So Captain Marvel, the rights were regained, were bought off for all the Charlton comics, including characters like the Blue Beetle by DC Comics. They integrated them in integrated his the character. All the characters into the DC universe. But Marvel, before they could do that, because not only this other company attempted to make a Captain Marvel character, Marvel took the name and made a generic kind of space superhero, a male. Yeah, he was that. He's the guy Mar-Vell, as they called him. He was in the movie, but of course he's a second banana, even though he's technically the first Captain Marvel. But to be fair, in the Marvel Universe, Captain Marvel has been named, that name has been by taken by multiple characters. The only thing that unites them is that I think they all got their powers from the Kree. And I don't really know Captain Marvel that well. I never really liked him. I thought he was just, I like the space parts. I like the Kree Skrull War and stuff like that, because it's basically like Star Wars. I thought Captain Marvel was just kind of generic and boring. I remember his first, one of his earliest, the first time I've seen him, it was one of the older comics when he had his green white costume. He was just a dime a dozen. Okay, so he can fly. He's got some super strength, some invulnerability, some durability. He can shoot beams out of his hands. There's like, in the Marvel Universe alone, there's probably like dozens of characters like that. And I'm talking about, you know, the space characters even more so, you know. Like maybe there's so many that are just the same. I'm including also villains, of course, but I just felt it was just kind of boring, you know. It wasn't really that interesting of a character. So I didn't really, I just remember him popping up in some crossovers, and then of course you had the different other Captain Marvels, like female ones and whatever, and they just kept on making the Captain Marvel character, and I think it was because that's so they could keep the rights. And when they made the character, they gained the name, and they literally were like, of course, they were pissed at DC when DC was doing Captain Marvel, but they literally had to do they did another lawsuit where they basically agreed on that DC can still have Captain Marvel, the Charlton character, and they still can call him that inside the comics, but they cannot advertise with the name Captain Marvel. So they chose to call it like Shazam, so they couldn't like say this comic has Captain Marvel in it. It's like with the power of Shazam or something, you know. So that's what DC did, and for years now he was Captain Marvel, but he couldn't be called that. And then in the last couple of years, I would say the last 10 years or whatever, like eventually they just said, you know, we're just fucking pissed at Marvel, and they're always giving us this. So because Shazam is the name of the wizard that gives the power to Captain Marvel. And he is the real Captain Marvel to me. Okay, let's not beat around the bush. because he's actually an interesting and cool character. He's fun. Marvel's Captain Marvel character was just made because they decided to change their name from Timely Comics to Marvel, and they were like, oh, it's kind of a very brand recognition name. He's like the Captain Company character, you know? It's like Captain Commando from Capcom. You remember the mascot superhero? Literally, Captain Commando. It is, if you shorten the name Cap and then Com, it's Capcom. So he's literally, he was made as a company mascot. But he had only one game. And he did pop up in like manuals and advertisements for Capcom, but he never gained popularity. And once Mega Man got popular, he became the mascot for Capcom. But I still like him personally. And Captain Commando, the arcade game, which I have been re that I replayed on the Capcom Beat 'em Up bundle, is actually a pretty fun beat 'em up game. And I would like to see him return eventually, maybe in a Capcom versus Marvel game. I don't know. Maybe he has already appeared, but if he hasn't, it would be cool. And he would mix. He's a superhero, and he would mix just really well, mesh really well with the Marvel characters. Like, it would be fun if there's a scene with him, because he's kind of a little bit like Captain America in many ways. So it would be fun to see a scene with him interacting with Cap if there's like a story mode for like the fourth game or whatever they're working on. Either way, it's not here or there. The point is that DC was like, okay, fuck it, we'll just call him Shazam, and Marvel can go fuck themselves. And so Marvel was pushing this narrative with Captain Marvel, and then they decided to have a character called Miss Marvel become Captain Marvel around the time of the first Civil War event, a little bit before, I think. I didn't really care of her. It was like, I liked Miss Marvel. I thought she was a cool character. And then for some reason they decided, okay, let's make her a super lesbian warrior maiden or some shit like that. Because that's her entire point. You know, she has like this, you know, female characters can have short hair, of course. I don't care about it, but it is caught in a way where she literally looks like a lesbian warrior woman. I'm sorry. There's this German word called Kampflesbe, you know. And listen here, you know, if you're like really into the whole LGBT thing and whatever, I don't care if you're like lesbian or whatever. I don't. That's fine. That's great. That's awesome. You be you. It's fine. I'm just talking about a character. And if you love Captain Marvel, that's great too. And this is just my unsolicited opinion, and you can disagree with it. But since I doubt anybody that crew will listen to this, I don't care anymore. You know, like fuck this shit. I'm just gonna say how it is, because the character is not interesting, and she's literally just written to be that, you know. And she didn't start out immediately that way, but it's more and more was made into this, you know. And like she's. And nowadays she's like full on, I'm the independent woman, and I'm just like, no, I don't fucking I'm just kind of done with that, you know. I did went into the movie theater to watch it, but I regret it, you know. I should have just watched it on TV, you know. I already had problems with Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I'm kind of thankful that I didn't went into the movie theater. Yes, I said that. I didn't go to every movie, Marvel movie, into the movie theater, because I was like, Ant-Man was okay. I do like Ant-Man's powers because they're interesting. You can do some interesting things. I mean, you can going into the micro world, but I felt like where Marvel has to always do their thing, where it's like, you know, like, oh, it's a comedy and whatever, and that's fine. I'm okay with it. I just felt like Ant-Man and the Wasp didn't have a really good villain. It was the whole typical, like, oh, like I've been fucked up by science, and now I can do all this murder spree. That's my thing. And it's like, okay, but she was just boring, you know. And the fact that Wasp, that I think Evangeline Lilly or whatever her name is, she was just made to snark, and she's like the wife who's like, I wanna join that too, this party, because I'm a strong woman, I can prove myself. And it's like, where, you wanna have a strong female character done right. I think Wonder Woman so far was the best example, because if you're strong, you don't have to put down other people all this fucking time, because that just makes you like look very insecure, like, because she was always putting down Paul Rudd, aka Ant-Man, and she was always putting him down because how stupid he is and how blah 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 and whatever. Even though he's doing all these amazing things, and yeah, he fucking didn't get disintegrated by the Thanos snap. Yeah, I'm fucking spoiling shit here, but these movies have been around now for a while, and everybody have seen the memes, so who gives really a shit? And the people who don't know it, aka Swingle, he doesn't give a shit about spoilers. He's like, Sean, just get on with it. That's what he's saying right now. The point is that I felt that, going back to Captain Marvel, Ant-Man the Wasp was still okay. It wasn't great. There was some cool concepts, like the whole going into the quantum verse and whatever. There was some cool concepts, and then how it tied in, how Ant-Man and the Wasp was actually fucking important for Avengers, which makes Ant-Man like one of the most important characters there, I just feel like when I think it would have been cooler if they're a more tight team and there would have been a little bit less snark, because it has been, female characters are always portrayed as the strong, independent women. They cannot have weaknesses, they cannot be vulnerable, because it's an agenda, they can be only a parody of a strong woman character. If you're strong, it doesn't mean you're invulnerable. The whole point of even Superman is that people misunderstand the character really a lot, because they think, oh, because he's so powerful, he's a boring character. But he's not invulnerable, because he cares about people. He can be hurt by that, where other people are getting hurt. And yes, he can also be hurt and even killed by somebody who is at least as strong as him or even stronger. So it's like saying that, oh, Superman is too powerful, and then I'm saying, well, then pretty much every shonen anime character is too powerful. If you think Superman is too powerful, then One Punch Man, Goku, fucking so many other, like fucking, I don't know, Ichigo and all these other ones. That's the thing, is when you have anime fans then saying that, oh, I think comic books, I don't like when characters are too powerful. And then they're like, oh, but I love Dragon Ball Z. I'm like, fuck you. That's I like Dragon Ball Z too, but let's talk about the fucking power creep, okay? Yes, it happened with Superman, especially during the Silver Age era, where he became literally a god. But now where we are with I haven't watched all the episodes of Dragon Ball Super. By the way, Death Adder, when you started talking about that Dragon Ball Super in an older episode of Death Adder Super Show, I stopped listening to the podcast simply because I didn't want it to be spoiled, and I wanted to understand what you're talking about, so I started watching it. And then I actually got into it. It has definitely problems, and I can see why people complain. But it's like, if pe ever people complain about how American superheroes, because really the shonen characters, they're also just superheroes, I don't really see the reason why people care so much, oh, who did what first? Because there's actually some really cool Japanese have taken the superhero genre and made it their own, and they also inspired Western writers to make, it's the warm Ouroboros effect. We inspire each other. So saying that, oh, this who made it first and whatever, and nobody cares, like, I mean, I don't care, because I like these kind of characters, and there's also other countries who made their own types of superheroes and whatever. And it's, for me, it's more interesting to see how other cultures took the concept of a superhero, which is really just an updated 20th century idea of a mythical hero, you know, or a vigilante character from pulp fiction and whatever, or a mythical hero character like Samson or Hercules, and updating it to the 20th century, you know. So to me, it's like of course people will pick it up, you know, and the whole shonen genre, it comes from this genre of storytelling that was in older times, like I think even I don't know in Japan, I think they've done it like since the 19th century at least, or maybe even before that, where you had these wandering storytellers and they would tell stories to kids. And the way that they had also illustrations with them of the story, and they would switch the paintings in dramatic effect. So it wasn't animation in a sense, but it was kind of like it had a lot of the same prototype ideas, and they would be inspired by characters from all over the place. Of course, also Japanese folklore and so on, but also science fiction, fantasy, horror, and also superheroes. And they had actually a character even before Superman that was a like a proto superhero. So really, like to saying who's the first and whatever, it's like where you could probably say the first classical superhero would be the Phantom, but you could argue that Doc Samson and the Shadow are even older, and then you could always argue, well, isn't this guy like the first superhero and whatever? So the point is that I really don't care who's the first and whatever. I'm more about I like these characters and all of them can. And the Japanese have taken the concept of the American superhero and they combined it with the things that they loved from the American shows. They liked also the ideas of giant robots, and they combined, like, hey, what about if a superhero was like a superhero, but then he could also either grow giant to fight giant monsters because we like giant monsters and giant robots like Godzilla. And that's when you have Ultraman, you know, and or you have like Super Sentai and whatever, and they're also just superheroes. They usually the Japanese with the Super Sentai stuff or the and by the way, if you want to check out more Super Sentai shit, you know, you gotta check out Emerald Rangers, which is an excellent site for checking out all sorts of also other nerd topics, but of course also you know, Tatsunoko, or not Tatsunoko, how you call that? You know, Super Sentai related, let me see here. Now here's some Googling. I'm channeling Mondo Cool Cast. By the way, if there has been a new, I don't know if there's a new episode of Mondo Cool, I haven't checked it. But if there is, then shout out to Jerry Terrifying. He's a great guy. And if they have been missing some new ones, then I'll be definitely checking them. Tokusatsu, that's there we go. The tokusatsu genre is like the genre of, you know, like kaiju and sci-fi. It's kind of mixed multiple things, but one of the genres is of course the superhero genre, really, for me, and from the eyes of the Japanese. And you know, it's cool if you have something inspired by another culture and then you take it and you make it your own and you put in your own folklore ideas and whatever, but you also mix it with the things that you liked, you know. So I even liked when Marvel did some comics and some anime based where they license out the characters. You know, they even done this in the 70s with Japanese Spider-Man, although he's basically not the Spider-Man that you know, other than he has the costume and the web slinging, and he can wall crawl, but he's a very different character. But he's also a cool concept in a way that Marvel tried to do, and they've done it. They have been trying it in recent years, where they did like Marvel entire series of Marvel manga, where you had Japanese artists reinterpreting classic Marvel characters. And I'm not saying it's necessarily all good. It's just interesting to me. And I've seen that they made a the one I've seen was the was a Punisher anime movie, which had Scarlet, not Scarlet Witch, what is it? Black Widow. And by the end you had the Avengers also show up, but it was mostly Punisher and Black Widow. Of course they're gonna have Black Widow in there, so you could have the because the Japanese are like, oh, we gotta have a big booby chick, you know, and who's the best from Marvel is like Black Widow is one of the best, you know, so and she also fit with, but it was still cool though. It's still pretty cool. Punisher was pretty badass. Story-wise, there was some problems, but overall, I think they did a pretty decent job. And when the Avengers show up by the end, it was actually pretty cool. By the way, I've been again trailing off bringing this back to Captain Marvel. She was in that one too. She was actually not that bad, but she didn't have any talking parts. Maybe that's the point. Again, trailing off massively again. Captain Marvel was a boring movie for the most part. Okay, even when it comes to a superhero or a Marvel movie, because the entire point was, you know, she doesn't know her, and I'm gonna spoil the shit out of the movie, and I don't care. It's a shit movie. Honestly, don't worry about it. You know, I might not spoil Shazam because that one is actually good. Captain Marvel avoided as like the plague. Okay, like she is like. She has this thing where she's training on the Kree planet with the male Captain Marvel, you know, and she has this thing. She thinks it's a like a button, a switch button that turns her powers on or off, that gives her the powers, but it turns out it's an inhibitor. And later on, much later on, it turns out that, oh, suddenly we're in the 90s and Captain Marvel was actually human. And by a ship exploding, there was like a warp engine or whatever, and exploded, and she becomes Captain Marvel. And there's this whole plot where she returns to Earth, and then her memories return, and it's kind of like, I don't know, it could have been interesting, you know, but the only thing to me interesting was that it was the Marvel Universe in the past, and you had literally like Agent Coulson and Nick Fury, and they were younger, and they had Samuel L. Jackson. Like using a lot of makeup and some CGI, I'm guessing, to make them look younger. And it actually worked pretty well. And it was pretty fun. But then you had this whole stupid idea that she has this cat who is actually like Cthulhu or some shit like that, I'm guessing. And who eats up people and everybody. Yay, this is great! The cat is a murdering Cthulhu. Ancient one or whatever, you know, like I know it's not Cthulhu, okay? I'm just kidding, you know, because it's a big tentacle monster thingy, you know? And yeah, the cat was cute, but it was also so like fucking cliche. It's like, oh, it's the package you don't know, you know? It's like a, it's like a, you underestimate it and whatever. And it's like we're okay, but I don't know, man, like. I get it. I mean, the cat was cute, and it was fun to see Nick Fury interacting with the cat because him seeing to be because you see Nick Fury has always been a badass because Samuel Jackson just played his badass persona, but it's fun to see him a little bit more human. You know, he's young, he's not as experienced. But then they did this whole joke that the cat scratches his fucking eye out, and that's why he has the eye patch. And I'm feeling like, really, we couldn't have had like an epic moment where he fights like a Skrull. Or a Kree, and it cuts him into the eye, you know? Like, no, it has to be the cat for joke's sake. Like, you had to jokeify him too much, where you take away from his badassery. And I'm like, really, Marvel? Really? But it's like where the male characters are fair game to be made fun of, to like a point where it's like parody. You know, like, I thought the idea with Thor, where he becomes fat and kind of like a loser, where he gives up in Endgame, I was like, okay, this was funny for a short time, and it was cool that he regained back his mojo. It was funny, I liked it to a certain degree, but it's like where literally the women can only be shown as strong, independent women. They had literally a scene in Endgame where they had all the female, strong, independent women, except, you know, from the movies. Because we can't have Jessica Jones from the TV show or from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., anybody like Quake or something, which I thought would have been cool to have a crossover, but I guess I know with Netflix because Marvel they took out they canceled all their Netflix shows because now they're doing their own Netflix with Disney Plus, So there was a legal reason again where they still own the characters, but now they cannot have the characters showed in live action for 2 years. So paired a contract with Netflix. So I still hope that they will use the Defenders characters and Punisher in future and have these same actors reprise them. Especially, I do like the Punisher and Daredevil. It would be really cool to have Daredevil show up in one of the Spider-Man movies. I mean, come on, Marvel, make it happen. That's by the time you have the next Spider. I haven't seen the latest Spider-Man either, so I don't know if that one is any good. I hear people liked it, so we'll see. Mysterio is an interesting character, in my opinion, because you can do. He's like a special. And I know it's like, oh, he's shown as a hero, but he's actually a villain. It's just a surprise if you're a normie. Mysterio's a villain. And they're setting up the Sinister Six, and that's pretty cool. And I still think. I have not even watched Venom yet. I do want to watch Venom. I'm just still like, ah, why can't Venom be in Spider-Man, for fuck's sakes? He's got to be in Spider-Man. I'm sorry. But maybe Venom is really cool, and I changed my mind. At least now they had an actor that actually fits him physically, and the CGI looks, he looks actually like Venom's supposed to be, you know. But of course, he doesn't have the Spider-Man sign on his chest, which I find sad, but okay, I guess it makes sense to a degree. And it's probably also where Marvel was giving them the limitations of the women. But, well, not of the women, it's just fucking the lamentations of the women. Whatever, you know what I mean. The point is that Cap Marvel drags on. She's like an upset like soccer mom. She's always snarking and the thing is, people are saying, why isn't she smiling? It's like, because if you ask a woman to smile, then it's like the worst thing ever. And I'm like, look, I get the context from what you're saying that, you know, I try to look at both sides, okay? Yes, maybe that's like, you know, a random person coming up to you and telling you to smile more can seem predatory, but I don't think it's necessarily predatory from my point of view. I think, you know, personally, it's like where women, if you're confident and you're good looking enough and you go up to a woman and say the right thing or whatever, it w women could dig it. A lot of women could dig it. Like, you gotta know when you're not wanted or when your advances are not wanted, obviously. And look, and it's maybe going up to random people, especially when they're on their way to doing stuff in their everyday life, might not be the greatest idea. I mean, I can see the problems there. But transplanting this so much feminist ideas in a movie where it's supposed to be silly people in silly costumes with silly powers punching each other, I feel like where can we just have the classic superhero story with not trying to shove down agenda down my throat? Because like, if it's a like, for fuck's sakes, the Wonder Woman movie, which was made by a feminist dude and also a bondage fetishist dude, let's be honest here, was much better because, yes, you had the whole misogynistic men, but it was in World War I, so that was actually the case. You had still women's suffrage, like the whole first wave feminism was just starting, you know, or just going on, you know. So you have a woman from a mythical island just with strong women, and she appears there, but she's also very naive, so she's like more confused, and she's more like, I gotta walk around with my sword. And then the guy says, you know, okay, and it's also still very prude, like semi-Victorian era, like America, you know, or England, or is it England? I think it was either it was America, I think. Wait, no, it was England. I think it's England, but the dude is American for something. Her boyfriend, I forgot his name. It's like, it's dude bra number 27. Captain Kirk, yeah, Chris Pine, there we go. But I forgot the boyfriend for a thing, but I think he was decent too. And she didn't feel the need, as far as I remember, to put him down or to put any men down. Even the guys that were shitting on her when she came in they thought she's just a normal woman. She was just confident in their face, you know, like, and that was like, that's how you do it. If you want to have a strong female character and you want to talk about, like, women and feminism, you actually transplant them to an age where that's more of an issue, you know? Because, okay, in the 90s, sure, there was always douchebags and whatever, sure. But literally when the guy says to her, smile more, and then she like beats him up or something, I'm like, wow, that's a great superhero, for fuck's sakes, if it's like if Batman would beat up people that would laugh at his bat costume every time, then he would just be a psychopath. I mean, some people argue, and there's some points to be made that Batman is kind of a psychopath, but he's not fucking Punisher. He just attacks people that deserve it. He will try to solve the situation without violence. He will usually not even interfere when it doesn't need violence. He will have the police or somebody in charge. That was something, the whole idea with the Dark Knight and Harvey Dent, it did make sense to me, but the way how they did it with the whole like I have to sacrifice myself for Harvey Dent, I understand the concept, what he was trying to do, but I f still felt it was a bit, a bit stupid, honestly. But that's just a writing thing. It was still a good movie, but it had its problems. You see, I'm always drifting off because I really don't want to talk about Captain Marvel because it was fucking bad. Because she's just always just snarking, or she's like an expressionless like piece of wood acting. She's like literally, I'm Captain Bored. And in both ways. She's like a wooden board and she's bored because she's like, I have to be strong. It's like I'm a strong woman, or I don't show my, I'm a stoic character. Because I can't show my emotions. But when I show my emotions, I go Super Saiyan. She's like a shitty shonen character, but written for women, where she literally goes Super Saiyan because then she knows that, oh, because I took off this fucking, like, this inhibitor, which turns out that I'm, like, super duper powerful. I'm, like, the strongest. I'm like, what about like Quasar? What about fucking Silver Surfer? And they regained the rights to Silver Surfer, so yeah. What about fucking so many other characters like fucking what is it? I think Adam Warlock. There's so many other cosmic characters that I don't know them all, of course, because I haven't been up to date. I mean, I haven't even read a Marvel comic in a long time because they have went very SJW. And it's just annoying because I don't read comic books for politics. Like I felt like when it's now it's just supposed to be a mouthpiece of like how can we shit on our fans, our core audience this time, and try to appeal to people that will A, we will write a positive Twitter story or whatever, and but it will not, the people that read that Twitter story will say, oh, this is great. I'll do a hashtag, but they'll never buy the comic book or read it, they'll just open up a wiki page and check it. It's fucking annoying, it's fucking annoying. And yeah, there's some people who say, oh, you're just being a gatekeeper. Everybody can like comics. Sure, yeah, I'm not saying that. And I'm not being a gatekeeper, and I'm not saying that everyone is like that, I'm just saying there's a core audience for these comics, and they have been. And Marvel especially, but also DC, but especially Marvel, has been alienating their core audience, There's a reason why you have independent comic creators having Kickstarters for their comics and doing much better than Marvel and DC in many ways, and they're just independent. And for an independent comic creator, that is a big deal, And to me, it's like where. Because they're being always just yelled at that, oh, and told what comics are. It's like literally just a fucking dystopian society, And I could go in much more deep, and I'm really showing my power level here to a big degree, but I don't care at this point because I've avoided talking about this shit, a lot of this, but I will talk about it at least in the context for comic book movies and stuff like that and nerd culture because. It's like back in the day, if you read comics, you were a fucking geek, a nerd, and that was a bad word back then. You didn't want to be. You would hide that hobby, as much as you could. I hid that I like comics and role-playing games and video games, And I even stopped reading them for a long time because I was like, I'm now a, a cool dude. I'm a bra, whatever. That was a time like that. And women, you would never tell to women that you read that. You were like, oh, you basically like you made yourself like instantly girlfriend free. And I know people say, well, it's not true. Times have changed, of course. But. And you have all the whole nerd chic, whatever. But it's like where, because movies based on nerdy subjects like Lord of the Rings or Marvel Comics have become really popular over the last like 20 years, now suddenly, over the last like 10 years, it's like, oh, first it was, I like these things ironically because the hipsters, and now these things they say, I like these things. But because I come into this hobby. And now I want everything to change about it to fit my needs, The thing is, if you don't like characters, if you think these characters are too masculine or whatever your problem is with them, it's like where just make your own, Like this is the thing is you just this is the thing you want the characters to change just so you can feel better about yourself because you have your own biases probably and you're just projecting them everywhere, And you don't even know enough that there is characters that would fit the bill. And it's like you have these fucking losers in my opinion that just project all this fear and self-loathing and all this their own biases probably, And they're like, look me, look at me. I'm so woke, Look at me. I'm like, and also the other thing is like the whole recasting of white characters or AKA blackwashing. I'm like, everybody says, who cares about the race? You're a racist if you think this is a bad thing. And I'm like, the same people who say that they would fucking go fucking Ubery right away when you have black or Asian or Mexican characters being portrayed by white characters, which happened in the past, which was called whitewashing. And I didn't like that either. I didn't like when, for example, in Spawn's best friend, L. Simmons' best friend, was a black dude, was suddenly a white dude. And they did that because they said, well, we didn't want the movie to be like, that people would think, oh, it's that only black people would come in there. That's what they said. Like, that's how much Hollywood has changed. And that was in the 90s. Look, I get there is biases and everything. I try to look from both sides of the aisle, and I get that there has been problems. But can we just let characters be there? Because I've seen also how they recast the character from The Witcher, the female character, the redhead, with a darker skin chick. And I'm like, where this is supposed to be medieval Poland, and then her excuse was like, in the West we have dealt with slavery, and also it's more about speciesism, not racism, where you actually have like dwarves and elves and shit. I'm like, yeah, that's fine, but this is supposed to be like medieval Poland or medieval Europe, but in a fantasy kingdom. And also recasting again, like a lot of redheads have been recast, sometimes even with other white ca actors. Like fucking Mary Jane, played by Zendaya. And I know she's not technically Mary Jane, but she's still called MJ and she fills that role. So Marvel tries to have their cake and eat it too. I'm like, what? You're gonna induce Mary Jane and then call her MJ too? That's just fucking weird, man. It's like where you could just have her be a separate love interest, What is with this tokenism shit going on? There's this guy called Young Ripa on YouTube, and he's this black YouTuber, and he's a big fan of comic books and stuff. And he says a point that I think is really good. He says that there's plenty of black and Asian and Hispanic characters already established in these universes that either didn't have yet a chance to be made into a movie, or they were just on TV shows. Like for example, they're doing now Shang-Chi, and I'm yeah, that's cool. Make Shang-Chi. I don't really know about him. I know he's a kung fu dude, but I'm like, what is? Sure, make him. Make all of the characters. I'm fine as long as you make it a good story, you know. And you have taken obscure comic books and made them into good movies, so I'm okay with that. But it's always there's agenda going on. And if you say that there is no agenda, you're fucking delusional, okay? You are in this fucking woke Twitter world kind of thing, which is, in my opinion, people think that the entire world is that way, at least in the West, you know. But I think it's literally the media, the social media, the internet, the people, at least in the dominant thing, there's a certain group that controls a lot of the things that we consume. And that's what's going on, you know. Like, I don't want to go full on Alex Jones here, you know, like, oh, it's conspiracy, the frogs are gay, whatever. I think just generally people are more open about shoving their political agenda down people's throat with their media. And they have done this in the past, of course, you know, no questions. And at times at war, like in World War II or one, it was very obvious, but at least it was kind of fun. Honestly, seeing Hitler being beat up by Tom and Jerry or Superman beating up Hitler and whatever was kind of a cool thing, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, especially the Tom and Jerry one, because it was just so random. And always they bring up the whole where Donald Duck becomes a Nazi, and I was like, it wasn't a pro-Nazi thing. Donald Duck was mostly shown as a more like a villainous character or more like an asshole character, you know? And the idea was to show that you shouldn't, you know, being a Nazi is obviously bad and how it happens, and they made a satire over it. Like, there's worse cartoons out there, like the whole blackface cartoons. Yeah, those are blatantly racist, but a cartoon about I think they just Marvel Disney removed it because they want to have their squeaking clean image. But Donald Duck was actually a fun character. He was more like Daffy Duck. He was more like a villainous, more asshole-y type character to you know, Donald Duck literally his roles was to go against the good everyman character of Mickey Mouse, the same way you have Daffy Duck being the enemy of Bugs Bunny. Although I think B Daffy Duck has become more of a you know, like a victim towards the assholishness of Bugs Bunny later on. So, and then they were like, so there's, you know, but they're more silly, and that's what was fun with these cartoons. But you could never make these type of cartoons anyway, you know. Even when they did a new Looney Tunes show, it's like, oh, it's a sitcom now. And it's like, yeah, that's what I want to see. And like, yeah, there was not only physical slapstick jokes in Looney Tunes, they would also do talk and interact with each other and have slapstick jokes. And what was it? The nostalgia critic said that, you know, I mean, it kind of makes sense to expand on that and make it a, but I felt like, I don't really, I just want to have the old school 5-minute cartoons, you know, like you had. And you could still have them joking about shit, like, and talking about it the same way, and maybe updating it with some modern shit, but still make it a cartoon like that, like it used to be. I mean, how hard can that be? Now, to be fair, I haven't seen Looney Tunes, I haven't seen even one episode. But I've seen enough to I see where like yeah these are my favorite characters, and also I have issues with the animation, although it's still better than the DuckTales reboot, which is fucking, I'm sorry, this is, it looks like a shitty fucking Flash cartoon. Okay, let's be honest here, this is a shitty fucking Flash cartoon that they cynically made because people were really in the whole 90s, you know, people in their 30s and 40s were in the 90s and 80s nostalgia. And it was like, hey, I grew up with this as a kid, but like, I love DuckTales, okay? This is not DuckTales to me, okay? Like, I know there might be some people listening to this that like that show, but to me, and I haven't watched it. It might be even good story-wise and whatever, but the fact that the animation is so sloppy and so cheap, you know, from Disney, just fucking offends me, you know, because they could make it as it should be, you know, real animation where they put in the effort, but it's cheaper and faster. You can just shit it out fast with some computer program, and it's probably not Flash, but it's something of that sort. Anyway, again, back to Mar Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel sucks, okay, because in the end she loses the chip and she becomes independent woman. Then she goes. I mean, this the fight scene where she goes through a Kree ship. And by the way, the whole point where they had the Skrull as villains, but then they're like, oh, just they're just victims and refugees. I was, go fuck you, Marvel, okay? The Skrulls were one of the coolest villains, and they actually look cool, the makeup and everything. And I think finally you get the Skrulls back, and then you waste them. I do hope that they still use the Skrulls as villains, as proper villains in the future, because I'm not against the Kree being villains, but it's more, I always felt it more interesting that both the Kree and the Skrull were both kind of fucked up and they were fighting each other. And then you have characters like the Silver Surfer trying to make peace between them. The fucking 90s Silver Surfer cartoon that looked really cool because they made it look like a Jack Kirby comic book was fucking amazing, and people should appreciate it more. And by the way, Thanos was much better in that than in the movies, because he still, although he doesn't worship, they don't call her death, they call her like chaos, but it's the same diff. It's like, where that's his motivation. He wants to get down and dirty with death, okay? The fact is, Thanos is technically a little, if you take away his powers, he's like a goth emo boy, because he's like, oh, I wanna be with death, here's my poetry, and that's why he wants to destroy the universe to impress her. And on the other aisle of DC, Darkseid, if you take away his powers, he's like a nerd because he's obsessed with the anti-life equation. He's like, I need to find the anti-life equation. So the two most powerful villains in both universes that are pretty much the same, one is a goth emo boy, and the other one is a fucking nerd looking for an equation. So that's really the story that I wanted to see. Like, it is really sad that they couldn't use a Deadpool with Thanos, because in the comics, one of the things I do like that Death actually has a crush on Deadpool, and that's why Thanos doesn't allow Deadpool to die. It's not just that, because Deadpool, he can regenerate, but even his regeneration has a limit. But he doesn't die also because he literally, Thanos doesn't allow him to die because he's in love with Death and he's jealous on him. Now that would have been a great story, and it would have been. Now I know that by the time they had Thanos, they weren't yet, they weren't through yet with the whole storyline of, well, they weren't, they didn't have the whole full rights for X-Men, and introducing the X-Men at that point would have been not really that great. So it was also a different reasons, and I don't know if they would have even done it if they had the X-Men characters. Either way, the point is that, oh yeah, by the way, I am excited that, even though it is also kind of scary that Disney just bought out 20th Century Fox and becomes more of a, the monopoly is becoming more and more, the pool of monopoly studios is becoming smaller, which does worry me though too. But my Marvel fan heart is excited that they also have X-Men now and Fantastic Four. Although I do agree, I haven't seen Dark Phoenix, but I hear it was tremendously shit. You can take your time with making X-Men movies, Marvel. Just chill. I think Marvel movies are gonna be around. They're gonna make X-Men movies eventually, and introduce them into the MCU. But it's good if they just take their time with that and just chill. The point is that, back to that, Captain Marvel is just like, it was cool when she destroys the spaceship, but it was kind of also boring because then in the end she faces Mar-Vell and then she just kicks his ass with no problem. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. She's so uber powerful now, and he was holding her back because he's an evil man, whatever. It's like literally again, the whole, it's weird to me. It's just weird to me, And I'm not gonna say that I'm right or anything. It's just my opinion. Yes, it is, and I'm not gonna assume that I'm right, but don't assume that I'm wrong either. Like, if somebody's listening to this that doesn't agree with me, just post a fucking like post here on the next round, or on the Facebook page where I post it, and there's different ways you can post it and re-at me if you wish. Anyway, Captain Marvel, honestly, it was just boring. She was like, I'm the powerful soccer mom. So okay, that was Captain Marvel, and let's get on to the real Captain Marvel, Shazam. Now that I think I love this movie. I'm gonna just say this. But I don't want to spoil it too much because I want you guys to watch it because I think you would enjoy it. Even if you don't know the character, it's a fun concept because they take the idea of superhero. It's like a kid becomes a superhero and like fully grown. Yeah, it's basically like Big, but he becomes Superman basically, you know, and it's fun. And it is in the DC Extended Universe, and they reference characters, and they have some really fun moments there with the characters. And it's actually legit funny. You could say like, yeah, well, the DCEU was so dark and gritty, and now suddenly since Aquaman, or maybe even since Wonder Woman, but definitely since Aquaman, it's all colorful and shiny and happy-go-lucky, and you could argue, but at least they brought up a good save explanation where it was like Darkseid was pushing his influence over the world, and it was all dark and gritty. But now, you know, with Superman appearing and the Justice League appearing, like hope has returned, and them fighting back against Steppenwolf. So, yeah. Either way, Shazam's pretty cool. It's a fun movie. It also feels like a fun, honestly, like a fun. There's also some really nice family moments in there, and there's some really awesome moments in there. Like, definitely, it is a little bit of a lower budget movie, and I'm not saying it's a B movie and stuff, but they focus more on fun stuff and whatever. There's still epic fights in there, but they said, okay, we're just gonna make it a little bit more, like on the cheaper side in many ways. Just in order to make a profit, basically. And but there was still some epic moments, some great fight scenes. And I felt like where they could. The cool thing is now that they still got. It was successful and people loved it. You could argue like how much money it did well, honestly, money wise. It did well. It could have done better, and I think. But more importantly, it was well reviewed, and DC really needed another well reviewed movie. You know, like Aquaman, people loved it, at least the audience, but the critics were like, I think, too critical again with the movie, and I still think it was great. That one did well in the bank because it made like $1 billion, and nowadays with a movie, you got to make at least $1 billion to be like really successful, at least these big budget movies because they cost so much. It's not just the production cost, it's also the marketing cost, which is like so much, it's like almost the same usually as the production cost of the movie, which is crazy. But still, Aquaman did well in the bank, so we're gonna have more Aquaman movies. Which, by the way, Aquaman was great too. I might make a whole movie, so that's why I'm hopeful. Captain Marvel, or Shazam, the real Captain Marvel, Shazam. It was fun because really they applied the basic idea of Captain Marvel, the original character, but then applied it into the modern world in a fun way, you know, without taking away the magic or the majesty of the character. The costume of the character was great. They went all out. They went pretty much, yeah. It's Captain Marvel. You know, there's no big change. You know, like, and I loved it. You know, he has the big lightning bolt and everything. They went a little bit with a New 52 look, not too much though. He does have a hood, but he doesn't really wear it, so I don't really care. Because I never liked the idea of the hood, and I guess they just did it to make him look a little bit more wizardry and a little bit less Superman. The guy who played him, the adult Captain Marvel, was great. It was Chuck, you know. I didn't really see the show. I just watched a couple of episodes, and I thought it was decent. You know, it's like nerd gains like knowledge and shit. It was kind of cool, and I might actually watch it now in full because I did like some of it. Zachary Le Leva Le Levy, yeah. And looks wise, he was actually a perfect fit for Captain Marvel, like adult one. And he bulked up, and people were saying, oh, you just have padding under there. And he actually showed up, and like I thought, you know, maybe they had a little bit of padding in the costume, but I don't think too much because he showed off his muscles, and yeah, those are real muscles. But it's like you cannot just build these kind of muscles. Like there's only so many protein and chicken. Fucking bars, but he has built up some muscles. You can see him with a shirt on, t-shirts on, and stuff. Yeah, and he built up. Those are real muscles. I think they have slight padding, but it's fine. You know, he's the big red cheese, which is one of Captain Marvel's nicknames. And yeah, I love how the costume is just as ridiculous. And there's even a scene where somebody makes fun of his costume and said, "Well, I didn't choose it," but that's the whole point. Where it's not ashamed of the character at all. It's just the point is he's a teenage, he's like a kid, you know, a teenager, you know, and like he's what, like 13, 14 or something, or 15 or something like that. He's like a kid. And the kid who played Billy Batson and the kid actors, they did a good job too. So it was actually fun because it was also cool because he's like an orphan and he gets put into this foster home, and he's got other these other the foster parents and his there's other kids there who are part of the family. And it is pretty charming. It also, somebody said it has this feel of like a Steven Spielberg kind of movie, in the sense like something like The Goonies or Stand By Me. I don't know if Goonies was Steven Spielberg. I think so. What is it? E.T., where you have kids, kids experience, and of course also big also. So there was lots of inspirations, of course, but technically you could always argue Captain Marvel was way before the movie Big. So if anything, either way, the point is that it was great, it was fun, there were some great fun moments. I don't really want to okay, I'm getting called, I gotta pause this here. Okay, sorry there, I'm not gonna cut it out because who cares, I'm going full yeah, whatever. So it is a fun movie. I would recommend you to guys that like lighter superhero movies. I think you would enjoy that. Yes, even you, Swingle tried to watch some of the earlier DC Extended Universe movies, but this one is actually worth watching, I think, even for you. I think you would enjoy it. Death Adder, Tomcat, I think you guys would enjoy it too. Maybe even CF, you would enjoy it too. Like I honestly think it is an enjoyable movie. So the point is that to me, it was a character that wasn't well known by the general public, and they introduced him well. So, and also, of course, we know already that The Rock is going to play Black Adam, like the villain, although they're going to make him more like the anti-hero. But he'll be introduced in his own movie first, and then I'm thinking they want to have him crossover with Shazam, Captain Marvel, in the third Shazam movie. So I'm like, I'm okay with that. You have a crossover movie by the third time. Because I think Black Adam, I don't know that much of him, but I know that he was made more into an anti-hero, so I'm like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that concept, and The Rock is pretty cool. I just w wanted to him like go full crazy, but on the other hand, I feel like it might actually work better because with The Rock, and physically, he's like the perfect choice. He will be perfect for. Because there was rumors in the early beginnings where he would be Captain Marvel. I'm like, nah. Like he could probably pull off Captain Marvel, but I would rather have him be Black Adam because like he would be perfect for it, and I'm happy that he's doing it. So I think they're gonna film that one. So either way, for Captain Marvel, okay, Shazam, the real Captain Marvel movie, I would recommend it to you. It still has some superhero thrills. It has some fun moments. It's definitely more of a comedy, but it does have some. It has stakes and it has superhero battles. So it, and but it has a cool, positive ending, and I like it. I like it. If that's the direction with the DC Universe is going, then I'm happy with that. Now, obviously, they're also working on a new Batman movie, called. They don't have a real title yet, but they have announced already that Robert Pattinson, they're going with a younger Batman, so it's gonna be, I think, set in the 90s again. It's kind of weird, but okay, I'm fine with that. I mean, and I think it's still gonna be part of the DCEU, so that means it's gonna be like a prequel, and it's gonna be like Robert Pattinson from the Twilight movie. So, and I've heard that he's actually a better actor and he was in better movies. So, look, I'm gonna give it a chance because Michael Keaton was Mr. Mom and he turned out to be a great Batman. So, Heath Ledger was just some rom-com dude and he was a great Joker. So let's just wait and see. I'm gonna wait and see. I think there's a good chance he'll do a good job. Then I'm curious if they're probably gonna integrate them too if they do make a new Justice League movie, which I do hope they do. And if they want to like have some kind of explanation why it looks different, they could do Flashpoint or just not even address it. You know, just make Robert Pattinson look older and just deal with it. You know, but you could just do Flashpoint and just be done with it. You know, with the Flash. But that movie has some issues right now, but I hope it's still going to be made because I think there's potential there, even though, yes, you have the Flash TV series, but that's a whole nother potato. I don't want to say more about Shazam because I actually think it's great and I want you to go out and watch it. But yeah, okay, so we have been going on for like 1 hour, 10 minutes, so I will stop it actually here. I'm gonna put on some music. I don't know at what, but yeah, I went a little bit more crazy right now in a sense. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast and listening to it. And don't worry, Swing, I'm not gonna fuck around with the title card too long. I'm just gonna throw something together because I want the people to actually watch it, you know, and listen to it, you know. And I might actually upload it to YouTube. I don't know yet. And of course, without the music because like the whole copyright claim system, I don't want to deal with it, even though I don't monetize my video, so chances are they won't really look at it, but still they're because they have an automated system, still might be tagged. Either way, the point is that go out, watch Shazam, fuck Captain Marvel, and Marvel's also going down a dangerous road with going woke with the whole female Thor, because they have already made her female in the comic books. And I was expecting they would do that for the movies too, but I was hoping they wouldn't go that way, but they did, you know. So it's like where, whatever. But that's another topic for another day. I hope you enjoyed it. Oh wait, fuck, fuck. Stop, stop, stop. Stop the thing. We're not done yet. Stop the train. Stop the train, motherfuckers. And I won't cut this out. Because fuck it, we're just rolling here. I almost forgot, and how could I forget? The comment section, because here is the Beast Bag. Okay, we'll just call it the Beast Bag. I don't know. I don't have a theme song for this or whatever, like the Fail Bag or whatever, but just the Beast Bag. There we go. We're gonna see what comments we've got. And remember, you can comment on thenextround.net or on www.gamingbeast82.com. Yes, I have a new URL. And when I post it there, also on my Facebook or even on my Twitter. But the best I like if you post on thenextround.net. It's easy. So let's read. And it has been a while that I did this episode, June 9th. But fuck it, we'll just go. And from Death Adder. This is the first comment, and I love it. It's like this comment has been removed by the author, you know? Like, what were you saying? What don't you want us to see? I know. That's how Blogger works. If you remove a comment, it says that it has been removed. It's just kind of a retarded way. I'm just kidding. Now the next one, the real comment at June 9th. That one was like 4 minutes later. It was 12:34 p.m. my time, I guess. But anyway. Here it is. Dear God, no, Zod. We'll listen and comment immediately. I love it. As a great shout out to Superman 2 and with Zod, which was amazing. Thank you, Death Adder. I haven't posted on TNR a while because I think most of my podcast episodes aren't that great. All they are is just me talking about Hulk Hogan and Dead by Daylight for 60 minutes for an audience of Mecha Men. It's lol. So that's why I just keep them hidden away on my site for those who really want it. But I can spam a few old episodes over. Most of them are on another laptop that I don't use much lately because the hinges are broken off. Are broke as fuck. Yeah. Death Adder, that's all good, man. I get it. But I need to catch up with the Death Adder Super Show because I have been slacking off. But I've been playing a lot of Fallout 4. You know, I've been doing other stuff too. I do love podcasts and I do love to listen to my bros. I don't know, at times I feel like I just wanna like, you know, like listen to other stuff or like or not even listen to anything or just play video games or watch movies or do other stuff, and I have been kind of down a little bit. So, but yeah, let's read the next comment. I watched, I believe, 1.5 or 2 seasons of Social Justice Warrior Girl because I thought the girl was cute. I like Martian Manhunter, and I like the fight at the end of episode. But from what I've, but what I've clips, but from what I've clips of on YouTube. Holy shit! No, thank you. Or should I say, thank you very much. Okay, I love that comment. Yes, I agree. Like, you're not missing much. Martian Manhunter is cool in many ways, although he's becoming kind of weird now in this season that I'm watching. He's like, "Oh, I'm all about peace now, and I don't cannot fight." And I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, still, there is some parts of it where I'm like, and I still feel like, did he? Why does he have to be CGI when he switches? You know, like I feel like where I get it, you want to have the actor not being forced to put on all the makeup, you know. It's like good and bad because in a way you do get to see him like as he's supposed to look like in a cool way, and he is a shapeshifter, so I'm okay with that. You know, it's not with at least with him, it works fine. Yeah. So, but yeah, the TV show has become super woke. It's funny because the DC movies, they haven't been really woke, and they're not really going in that direction at all, and that's good. If anything, they're going away from even that. If they never really went to there, you know, not even Wonder Woman, which was the big one where I was worried, you know. But the TV shows, the CW shows, especially, they're very woke and like independent women. I mean, especially now the teaser trailers for Batwoman. I was like, hey, cool, we're getting a Batwoman show because I'm like, you know, obviously we can't have a Batman show, but it's cool that they at least reference him, that he does exist and he was around and whatever, but he's gone now. So I'm like, okay, cool, at least they shot him out, and then you have Batwoman. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. And the crossover and this the whole Elseworlds crossover was actually pretty cool for but then there was some bullshit again. The same reasons what I'm saying. It's like, oh, we have to tear down everything what the men have made. And I'm like, just be a cool character, you know? Like, there's some cool ideas with Batwoman, you know? Like, yeah, she is kind of a tokenized character, but I'm like, okay. As I said, if you want to have more representation, then make a new character. And they did. And I'm like, okay, then make her interesting. Okay, she's a lesbian. I'm fine with that. I don't really care. What makes her cool? I actually like her costume. I don't know that much about her from the comics. I know that she exists, but I feel like where I think it's cool that she's the cousin of Bruce Wayne, and that Bruce Wayne basically, you know, she's basically taking over the mantle. Also, that's how the show starts. But then when she says, you got to change the suit, and the guy says the suit is already absolute perfection, and she says it's gonna be perfect if it fits a woman, and I'm like, oh. It's just cringy, really. You know, I don't really care that much. It's just fucking cringy, where I feel like she could be a little bit like you know, I want to take over, and I want to show the people of Gotham a new hero. Maybe who's like different, but I will also respect the legacy of my uncle in some way or shape or form, you know. Like, there would have been ways to do it where she could say that I'm my own person, my own hero, and I'm gonna be a new kind of hero for Gotham. But here it's just, oh, they're simply just making her, you know, like a man. But then again, it's just a trailer. I'll be honest, we haven't watched it yet. It might be just, but it's CW, and I've seen enough CW where I'm like, and I've been still watching it, you know, but I've been slogging through it just for the references and some of the cool things that they put in there. And they literally had the fucking original Flash from the old series. Now they had the actor reprise his role, so that universe does exist. and they set up the multiverse. So there's so much cool, but they ruin it. They ruin it. It's like, oh, look at this. We finally made the big crossover, DC Universe crossover that you wanted. Shit. But it's really good. But I have to tell you about my SJW agenda, and it's like where you shit a big turd on the pie. You know, I'm like, look, we get it, okay? And I can at least understand to have some the feminist ideas in a Supergirl show, but Supergirl has been so much more, and there's been different Supergirls. There would have been different directions they could have gone with that. But it's literally she's just oh like literally she has to like where Clark is like Superman when he appears. By the way, that actor who plays him is really great for the most part, except when he's like they even showed Lois Lane, and there was some cool stuff about it. There was lots of cool stuff about it, but when he says you know, Supergirl, what you've done, I couldn't have done. You're like the true protector of the Earth. I'm like, why can't they be both? Why does Superman need to be taken down a notch by Supergirl? You know, why does that have to be? You know, why? This is actually the actor and the character is actually done well as a good Superman character in many ways. And they kind of blow it again, you know. Death Adder, I would recommend you just stick with the clips from Superman when he appears and don't watch the show. You know, that's all I'm gonna say. There's some cool stuff, but it's not worth it. I'm slogging through it. It's not as bad as fucking Smallville, but what is? You know, what is? You know, it's like it's still fucking pain in the ass. Flash is still good, but they have a lot of wokeness in it too, way too much. But anyway. Next comment from Death Adder. It would be a bit of a pain in the butt, but you could make two versions of the Beastcast, one with the sweet metal music for TNR, and one with free-to-play baby doo-doo tunes for YouTube. But I'm fine with checking here for episodes. I will honestly think about putting it on YouTube. It's not big work because you can just convert it and make. It's not even a big editing process. So. I'm just lazy, honestly, and it wouldn't be too much of a deal. And I have enough copyright-free music where that wouldn't be an issue, I think, you know, like so you are right. I mean, that's why I would love to put more of my favorite metal bands, but I also kind of, you know, like anyway, it's a long story. I'm thinking about it. We'll see if I'll do it. I had already an episode, at least one, the special, the New Year's. It was the Kaiser and Hanu special. By the way, shout out to Hanu, great content creator, of course. Check out his stuff on Hand a Tune YouTube channel, of course, and also his website. Anyway, next question from Death Adder, I think, or comment. I think Swingle coined the term Mondo Roundverse, but yes, it's an awesome term. It is Mondo Roundverse, and that's the official name of the cinematic universe of ours. You know, it's canon, can't be changed. I will add in the Emerald Rangers too, the Mondo Roundverse Rangers. That actually sounds kind of cool, kind of stupid but cool. But yeah. And then the final comment of the great Death Adder, who is a great and awesome guy, and you should check out the Death Adder Super Show, because it is a super show for super people, okay? And it says here, Rangus is, and this is like, Rangus is when you make hot brown rain out of your bottom, Dr. Cebu. Very nice. Love it. Any Tim and Eric shout out, Dr. Cebu, anything like that. I always appreciate it. And of course, Dr. Shreebool is great because that will be cool, you know. Yeah, I love Dr. Shreebool. He's a great character, great show. And yeah, Tim and Eric, they like announce a streaming site for their content, which is called what is it called? Channel 5. But it streams them like TV shows, so you cannot actually click and watch stuff individually, but in a way, I'm still interested and I'll check it out more. I'll get into there and check it out because they have also some new stuff like the Our Bodies show, which looks great, and Scum, which is like a remix of their stuff. So, yeah. Either way, thank you, Death Adder, for commenting, and I will try Mondo Rouse Round Versus. I will try to have an episode next week, and there's a good chance, but I won't promise 100% because I have been up and down, I've been flaky, and I'll admit to that. But I'm trying to change, I'm trying to be better, and I have topics to talk about quite a lot. I have stuff to catch up on, and I will talk about older movies and older stuff. Please write comments, concerns, suggestions for new episode topics. I will give you to kind of motivate the discussion. I will give you a topic. If you could make a if you would have a big budget company, and you would have also a good legal team, and you had like a huge budget where you could make your own fighting video game, crossover fighting video game, and you could basically have such a good lawyer where you could guarantee to get two companies to sit down and play nice and make a game together. Doesn't matter which. What companies would you choose? What would the game be? It doesn't even have to be a fighting game. If it's a different genre, that's fine. It's just fighting game is probably the simplest. But it could be a beat 'em up, could be even a strategy game for fuck's sakes, or anything, Just let your imaginations run wild in the Mondo Roundverse, okay? In the Emerald Mondo Roundverse, okay? And think about that. It can be anything. Can be as stupid or as epic or as nonsensical as you wish. Also talk about, characters and who you would main and who would be the joke character. Go ahead. I'm telling this to you all guys, and you're great. And yeah, the Mondo Roundverse, the next round is here, and it's here to stay. And I'll be trying to get more content out. Hopefully also video shit. We'll see. I have some ideas, as Robbie Rothstein would say. And yeah, so talk to you later, guys. And I'm gonna play some generic music here, as Kaiser would say, for the Death Mug of Doom.